amazing things. And we're calling your attention just for a few minutes to the book of James, chapter 5. And we want to talk about prayer. In order for faith to work, you've got to have prayer. Apart from getting in contact with God, we really are putting our faith at risk. We've got to have communication with God and know that He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We had our planning on yesterday, and we were talking about some of the things ahead and how that this is a spiritual journey. It is a spiritual journey that we're taking, not a natural journey of the flesh. Whatever God's going to do, He's got to work through His word and move us to where we need to be. Amen? So as we look at this verse, I'm going to ask that we all stand in reverence to His word as we shall share this with you. James 5, and beginning with verse number 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for all that you've done and all that you're planning to do. We're grateful, Lord, this day that you've allowed us to be here 39 years. And so we really celebrate your goodness and celebrate your magnificent power and your amazing love. God, you've done some marvelous things. We could only dream about it. And now we're recognizing, Lord, and realizing that the dream has come true. You've done exactly what you said. So, Father, we give you praise and glory. We ask that you'd bless us now in our time together in your word, that it might indeed be time well spent. Change us by what we hear. And Lord, I pray you change us for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to just share with you a few thoughts from the subject, when you pray right. When you pray right. The old song that we used to sing, when you pray right, heaven belongs to you. When you pray right. What does it mean when someone calls us to pray? And how do we pray? And do we have the confidence that our prayers are being heard by God Almighty? If we prayed as if our prayers were effective, we would already have in heart and mind something that would capture God's attention, but also move God's hand. If we pray right, if we really pray right, if we pray as we ought to pray, and certainly that is what men ought to do, then we would recognize that God would move, that the throne room of heaven would hear us, and that God would grant our request if we prayed right. If we prayed and really called on God as we ought, our prayers would be heard as welcome calls by God's dear children. That is, if we pray right. This means that our attitude toward prayer would not just be making noise, but it would be something to say to God, we honor you. We recognize who you are, and we need you to do something for us that, Lord, we cannot do for ourselves. I like the way that Moses put it. He said that the things revealed belong to us, but the things that are hidden belong to God. Sometimes the way that we need to go is hidden, and so we've got to ask God. Sometimes the resources and the strength that we need is hidden, and so we've got to call on God. We've got to ask Him in prayer, Lord, would you help us? And so when someone says, let us pray, Something should grab our heart so that we would be willing to fall on our knees and to lift our voices to God and say, Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. That is, if we pray right. Prayer's not throwing pennies in a wishing well. Prayer's when we are making a request before God Almighty. It's not something that we're doing and we're throwing at a statue and hoping that the request will stick. But we know that when we pray from a heart overflowing with joy and love for God, that God welcomes the prayers of his people. While we look at the book of Revelation as a book of fulfillment of the judgment of God, there is something interesting in the book of Revelation around the 12th and the 14th chapter that the children of God are praying. And God causes heaven to get into a holy hush as the prayers of the saints are being offered. Your prayers are not these meaningless words and these wrangling symbols that are put together. Your prayers mean something to God. And when he doesn't hear from you, when he does not hear you pray, then God sends these motivators. He allows these situations and these circumstances to come about so that you will pray. And then when someone says, let us pray, you are willing and ready because you have been motivated to now call on God. And so as much as we talk about prayer, it really doesn't mean a whole lot unless we pray. We can talk about it. And so my words to you today are simply suggestions and helpful things that will cause you to be more effectual when you pray. Now, what is James talking about when he mentions effectual prayer? That is a prayer that is powerful. A prayer that will mean something when God hears it. Or will the Lord just say, yeah, I hear somebody, something, but it's not recognizable. To capture the mind and the heart of God. Think about that. If you were to speak with some dignitary, you just wouldn't want to come into their presence and just talk about the weather. Especially if you knew that they could help you. You knew they had the means. And so how much more when you call upon your heavenly Father who loves you like nobody else and who can do for you what no one else can? How much more should we call upon his name and recognize that he is God? It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. The call to prayer is something that is holy and reverence. And I'm going to share this message at some point, but I think we're moving toward the convenience store mentality as we worship God. You know what a convenience store is. You don't want to go to the store across town where they have everything you need at a lower price, so you're willing to pay more to get just a little bit. You got to have a better attitude when it comes to prayer. Amen. So it is that we look at God, and I want to share three things, important things that James brings out in this prayer. First of all, we're prompted to pray, and we're prompted by a need. We're prompted by a need. He says, is any among you afflicted? Now, when we grew up, afflicted meant something was wrong with you. But really the word in the Greek that James is talking about, he is saying if there's anybody in trouble, if there's anyone going through a struggle in their life, rather than you assume that you can handle it, rather than you think that you're equipped to deal with it, remember the things revealed belong to us, but the things hidden belong to God. So if the answer is hidden, then who are you going to talk to? Who will you call on? So James is telling us in this verse, let us pray and let that person take the responsibility of praying. Now, what do we do rather than pray? We'll complain that it's somebody's fault. And we'll try to put the blame on, well, this person was the reason that I'm in this trouble. You don't know why, and sometimes you don't even know how you got in trouble. But the Bible is saying that when you get in trouble, you need to pray. Now, don't think that God sent the trouble and just to get you to pray, but God allowed it. If you haven't noticed, this is a troubled world. Amen. If you haven't taken time to realize that these school shootings and all of these things, these tragedies are happening because this is a sick world. Amen. And I don't know, and I'm not a legislator, but it's something when people consider guns to be more important than lives, something is wrong. Amen. But this is a troubled world, and it will get worse unless somebody prays. Amen. Oh, I hear the words of Solomon. If my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sin. This is what God says if we pray. But if we don't have time, or if we're just going to assign the responsibility. So James put this thing in priority. He said, now first pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. You know what's going on. No one can pray a better prayer than you because you know what's going on. It's one thing for people to pray with you, but you need to be praying for yourself. Are y'all getting me? So you got to pray. You're prompted by this need. Now, this need comes from the world that we're living in. God allows these things to happen. He allowed the situations to happen in Job's life. And rather than giving up, Job said, I'm going to pray. God allowed things to come upon his people as challenges, but not that the challenge would have the victory. God always wants you to use your faith. In order to engage your faith, you got to pray. Amen. Y'all still with me? And the second thing about prayer is that it's a process. Now, he didn't say you pray by yourself because you want to engage others in this prayer, in this process. Now, James is coming from the Jewish perspective. They recognize that God had a leadership in place. God had a structure in place. Now, if you notice, one of the modern things that's happening in the church, one is people don't like leadership. Amen. And the other thing is they want to appoint themselves as leaders. Are y'all with me? Let me tell you something. If it was up to me, I would not be pastor. But it's not up to me. Because I came along in the day and time where folks ran from being a preacher. You wanted to be anything else but a preacher. And my wife would tell you that Lord knows one of the things she didn't want to be married to was a preacher. And the other one was a military man. And I was both of them. Isn't that something? And God had a plan for her. Amen. God played a joke on her. She married both. But now James is telling us that there's a process that involves leadership. Are y'all with me? Now people say, well, I don't like certain folk praying for me. Well, why didn't James tell us that? Get certain folk to pray for you. Are y'all still in the house? He said, is any sick among you? Now notice, this is different from the trouble. You pray, you're the one in trouble, you pray. But if you get sick where things are wearing you down physically, mentally, emotionally, then you got to call somebody. Are y'all with me? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. You see what I'm saying? Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I don't like certain elders. Let me give you a story here. And this actually happened when God had, well, I actually got two stories. Elijah is one of them. This Naaman the Syrian, he was a general, in the army of the Syrians, and he had leprosy. And a word came where if you go over to Israel, different country, and get Elijah the prophet to pray for you, you'll get healed. Now, first of all, Naaman had a problem with going over to Israel because they were the folks that they were fighting with. Are y'all with me? You in the house? And so go over to a place where your enemy is and get one of their prophets to pray for you. And so Naaman had to go over there. And then when he came to the house where Elijah was, thinking he had all his entourage, all his troops with him and his underlings. And so he comes outside, pulls up his chariot, and expects Elijah to come out. And Elijah sends out a servant, said, go down to the Jordan River, dip seven times, you'll be healed. And the man flew hot. Because the leader, the elder, didn't do things the way that he wanted him to. And left in a rage. And as he was riding out in the rage and thinking, man, I ain't ever going to look for that leader to help me any longer. One of his soldiers said, sir, if the prophet had asked you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? He said, well, yeah. Said, how much more if he says to you, go down and dip seven times and you'll come up? And sure enough, he did what he was supposed to do. Right. Now, how does this apply to you? You saying, well, I ain't going to have them to come visit me. I don't care how sick I get. Woo! And they're the one that's got your blessing. Now, I want to give you another little short illustration here. I was going to bring in an extension cord and a light, and I didn't have time to get it. But anyway, it doesn't matter who plugs the extension cord in as long as you get the power. Yeah. Amen. How many of y'all ever broken down on the side of the road and your car was broken down and you need it because your battery just ran out and wouldn't start, and then somebody comes up in an old jalopy and they got jumper cables? You ain't even got jumper cables because you got one of these little cars that talk to you and buzz and blink, and they just got a little rat trap that goes up and down the road, but you got a dead battery. And you need the folks that's got the power to hook you up. And when they hook up the jumper cables to your brand new car that won't start, help me, Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter what the car look like, as long as you see what I'm trying to say. Don't block your blessing being picky. Lord, have mercy. Did he say that? Yes, I said that. Yes, I. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray. I don't care what they look like. Amen. It doesn't matter how they're dressed as long as they're anointed. That's good preaching. Somebody, look at somebody and say, when you pray right. Yeah, heaven belongs to you. Then I'm very quickly. And then lastly, prayer is a promise kept by God. Prayer is a promise kept by God because he's on the other end waiting for the prayer to come through. The prayer that you prayed and the prayer that others were praying for you, he's waiting for those prayers to come up. Remember the picture that we have in Revelation where the prayers of the saint go up before God. And God is listening for that prayer. He's listening for those prayers. He tells the angels who are so excellent in their worship that they reach crescendos that keep going higher and higher. And God says to them, wait a minute, my children are praying and I want to hear from them. Your praise is perfect, but their prayers is what I want to hear. Do I have a witness in here? And sometimes we'll get so bigoted, so uppity, that we don't want to pray, don't even want to come to church, don't want to magnify God, and we think that we're going to hurt God. You ain't going to hurt God because he knows trouble going to come your way. That we sing that song, trouble in my way, have to what? Pray sometimes. And it's all because we need him. And here's the wonderful thing. This loving God that we serve, this amazing God that we serve, loves us so much, doesn't need us. He's got a million galaxies out there and even beyond that he could spend his time with. And yet he wants to spend time with you. You know, we're getting ready to come up on my mother's birthday. She was born on May the 28th. And every time her birthday comes around, I say to myself, if I could just have one more talk with that woman. Yes. Yes. My dad's birthday comes up in October, and I ask myself, if I could just talk to Dad one more time. Yes. And yet your Heavenly Father is the living God. Yes. You can call him up anytime you want to. Yes. Early this morning, about 2 o'clock, I woke up. And the devil thought, well, I'm going to make you have a restless night. I said, no, it's already morning. I'm going to talk to my Father. Amen. I fell on my knees and started calling on God and telling him how good he was. Amen. That he could be listening to the angels, and yet he takes time early in the morning to hear my cry. Oh, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and he pitied my every groan. God is an amazing God. Here's what he promises you. Here's what he says now. If you have committed sin, anybody that never commits sin. Oh, thank you. That's what I felt like. Amen. We all have come short of the glory of God. And yet every time you pray, if you say, Lord, I didn't do what I should have done, or maybe I did what I should not have done. And God says, the fact that you've confessed it, I'm going to forgive it. Isn't that something? This amazing God. Look at what he says now. When you talk about praying, and matter of fact, there's one illustration we have in the Bible where these four friends had somebody that could not walk. And they had dragged him. They had brought him all the way, Jesse, to the place where the people were and where Jesus was. But the folks had blocked the doors. Everybody standing around, and he could not get to Jesus. So these four friends said, you know what? We're not going to give up now. We're going to keep on praying. Yeah. You see, prayer is not just with words, it is with seeking. Yes. They went up on the rooftop, began to tear up the roof, said, we can't get in one way, we'll get in another. Amen. And they lowered the man down before Jesus, and the Bible says when he saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Let me tell you, the top thing you need to pray about is not whether you need a new car. The top thing that you need to pray about is not that you need a better job. The number one thing that you need to pray about is not your health, even though you feel bad every now and then. But the number one thing you need to pray about is your sin and your relationship with God. If you get sin out of the way, then you can get your blessing. If you get sin out of the way, even if you don't get your blessing, you still got God and everything's all right. Clap your hand if you believe that. I got to stop preaching here, but another thing you got to understand that not only are your sins are forgiven, but praise God, you can be healed. And the word healed, I don't want you to think that it means you're never going to have a pain. I want you to think about healing as being complete. You don't have to have everything in the world. But once you've got God, you are complete. You see what I'm saying? Because what you lack, he makes up. How many of you all didn't get everything you wanted, but you still had peace of mind? Now, it's one thing to have money and another thing to not have bills. The question is, which would you prefer? Some folks say, give me money. No, 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 this don't give me bills. I'm all right. Are y'all in the house? Your healing is not the fact that you've reached a point that you have no pain. Your healing is that you've reached a point where you and God have got together so the pain doesn't make any difference. Because he comes in. And you know what? In his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. There's this one song that they sing, I can only imagine what it will be like to stand in the presence of God. Will I bow? Will I dance? What will it be like? I don't know. Yet when you enter into prayer, this amazing God comes to your level and tabernacles with you. That's the thing that we need to do. How often, preacher? Anytime you want to. God is available. As the old preachers will say, his line is never busy. You can call him in the morning. You can call him late at night. But do make the call, amen? And the toll is on him. I know you got your cell phone now. I know you got all of this. But if you don't pay your bill, your connection gonna get cut off. If you got a track phone, if you don't add some minutes, your connection. It's grace that covers our connection with God. And so when the call is made, let us pray. Don't worry about who's going to be praying. Just open your heart. Say, Lord, talk to me. And as you enter that prayer, God is on the other end to hear your prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for teaching us. Thank you for showing us that you are this loving and amazing God. And I'm sorry we don't talk to you as much as we ought to. And yet, Lord, we're learning that when we pray, it's not that we get everything that we want, but we learn what's on your heart. And what's on your heart begins to fill our heart so that many of the things that we might think we need, they're not important now because we've got God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your light. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. We're going to give the invitation if there be one today. Perhaps you've never made a decision for Christ. Or maybe you're not praying the way that you ought to. It's always good to call upon him. It's always good to recognize that he's God. So if that person is you today and you're in trouble, you know the assignment. If there's any who are afflicted or in trouble, let him pray. If there's any sick, let him call for the elders. God will forgive their sin. God will make them whole. Let's all stand. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. If you're not a member of the church, like to be a part of our fellowship, we'd love to have you. We're going to get ready for the offering. We ask that you prepare your hearts as we prepare to give and honor God through giving. We'll ask the officers to come forward.
Heavenly Father, we come before you just to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for looking beyond our faults and sees our needs. You allowed us to go out to make a living. Those who are retired are blessed to be here today. And Father, we are here to give you a portion back for your upbuilding kingdom on earth. Bless the ones that have it. Bless the ones that doesn't have it, Father. We know that is in their heart to give. And we will give you the glory and the praise this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.